Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zorah Daf Chof Tes. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Don't forget to click on the DAF option in order to view a marked DAF Gemara for today's shiur. Being that our system is a visual approach to the DAF Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the DAF before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Masechet. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara that we will be picking up from is found 5 lines from the top of Amud Beis. Of Amud Aleph, Chof Tes Amud Aleph. The topic that we are currently involved with has to do with things that are dangerous as a result of bloodletting. Bloodletting was a known medical procedure. However, there are certain things that one should avoid when he is involved with that matter. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. As you can see with our markings, the Tanaic source appears in a frame. We do this to set it apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. The Tanaic sources include Mishnayos and Brisos. And here we have a Brisa that says, Hamekiz Dam Lo Yochel Chag Bash. This is an abbreviation. One who is Mekiz Dam, one who experiences the bloodletting procedure, he should not eat these items. And they're now enumerated. Lo Cholov Velo Gvino, not milk, nor cheese, Velo Bitzolim, nor onions, Velo Shachlayim, another kind of vegetable. As we've mentioned on the previous dapim that we have been involved with here in the context of medical procedures which involve the translation of many items. However, there are many items that Rashi himself offers old French words to assist in the understanding. So in the absence of our understanding of the old French, some of the items we're going to leave untranslated and just use the word as it appears in the Gemara. In this case, we have 4 items, and you can see with the markings, we've squiggle-underlined the letters, in this case, the first letter of each word, that help form the abbreviated expression Chag Bash. The Gemara continues, Im Ochal, let us say a person bloodlet and consumed one of these items. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says there is a solution. Naisi Reviosa de Chola, he should bring a Revius, as a certain quantity of liquid. Bring a Revius de Chola, Chola is vinegar, Reviosa de Chamra, and a Revius of wine. Vinarbavinu, Brahadi Hadodi, Vinishti. Narbavinu is to mix them together and then drink it. Vachi Mifane, and when he relieves himself, when a person who ate these items as a that he shouldn't have eaten after he bloodlet, when it comes to the time that he wants to relieve himself from solid waste, lo mifane elo lemizrocho shel ir. He should go to the eastern part of the city, eastern side of town, mishum dekoshe reicha. Rashi says, mishum dekoshe reich, dvarim halolu, uveharuach meviosan leir. Because the scent that is created by these things is not beneficial, it's injurious, and the wind will otherwise bring it to the city if he relieves himself in any part of any other side of the city. However, the eastern wind is said to be a weak wind, and therefore that's the best place to do it. Rashi points out, Shiruch Mizrochis Eino Chazoka. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, we have a double underline. Now this double underline marking started on the, as it's one of our series markings, and it started on Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, and there we pointed out that these are refuos that are mutaros b'Shabbos, things that are, Shabbos in general is prohibited from doing different medical procedures and taking medicines. There are things that are allowed because they can be life-threatening. So we're continuing in that list of things. This is another one, double underlined. Malin Unkeli B'Shabbos. one may raise the unkeli on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, my unkeli, what is that? Amar Rabbi Abba, istumka de liba. This is a section of the body that's located very close to one's heart. Rashi gives two explanations, but for our purposes, one should realize that it's something very close to one's heart, and in this case, this area of the body needs adjustment, and being that it's close to the heart, it's something that could be life-threatening otherwise, and therefore it's mutter to engage in this procedure called Ma'alin Unkeli B'Shabbos, Mai Asuta. So how does one accomplish this this treatment? Maisi Kamuna Kruya Veninya. He brings these substances, and the Agdina, also this is a bitter type of grass, the Tzisri, the Avdizah is an azov, another kind of plant. So he brings these items, these materials. Leliba, there are different kinds of situations that are associated with these items. In other words, there are certain ailments that these items are beneficial for, and the only difference between the different ailments is there's a something else that's mixed in with the items mentioned. For example, the Gemara says Liliba, if it's a matter of istumka the liba, then he mixes these ingredients bechamra, he mixes it with wine. The simonech, in order to remember that the wine is that which is appropriate for the heart problem, remember the pasuk v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. So you see in this pasuk, especially with our markings, we've dashed underlined the word yayin and levav, so that one won't forget that if it's istumka the liba, which is a heart oriented ailment, he mixes these ingredients, the kamuna, kruya, veninya, etc., with wine. Lerucha, Rashi uses the term shachefes, another type of ailment, and for this kind of ailment that the Gemara calls rucha, so he mixes the above mentioned ingredients. Again, we mentioned the kamunya, kruya, etc. Bimayo, he mixes it with water. The simonech, in order to remember that for rucha the ingredients are mixed with water, remember the pasuk the ruach elokim rachefetz al panei hamayim, and you can see once again with the markings how we've emphasized the words ruach and mayim. Lekuda, Rashi says choli isha yoledes umitztanenes ala mashber. This is a situation where a woman in childbirth experiences chills and cold. So for her, for the kuda situation, you take those same plants, ingredients that were mentioned above, and mix them, in this case, with b'shichra, with beer. The simonech, the kado al shichma. The word shichma reminds you in part of the word shichra, and kado is parallel to kuda. So for the kuda ailment, if you remember this pasuk, the kado al shichma, you remember that for kuda you mix it with shechar. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Shochik Luhu Lukulu Bahadi Hadadi. The ingredients that we mentioned above for treating the istumka deliba, so Rav Acha, when he had to prepare this, he would grind them all together. V'shokil lei maloi chomesh etzbaasei v'shosi lei. He would take a quantity of a handful of the material and then drink it. That would mean he would take a handful of the materials that were mentioned, and they were ground up, and they would mix it with the appropriate beverage and drink it. Rav Ashi shochik kol chado v'chado l'chudei. Rav Ashi's approach to these ingredients was not mixing them together. He would grind each one up separately. V'shokil maloi etzboi rabosi umaloi etzboi zuchusi. He would consume the amount that one could hold between his two fingers, the thumb and the pinky. So the amount that one could hold between those two fingers, he would consume that quantity of each one of the ingredients. Omar Rav Papa. Here we have a marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara indicating that the next several lines are dedicated to Rav Papa's comment. Omar Rav Papa, Ano Avdi Lechol Hani, I tried all of these different things. velo itzoi, I wasn't healed. And from the context of the Gemara, one would assume that he's dealing with also one of these ailments, maybe the istumka de liba. And he said, I wasn't helped, ad omar li alhu taya, until I was given, until a particular taya, an Arab merchant, told me, I see kuza chadata, bring a kuza is a small vessel, a new one, a new kuza, umalyo maya, fill it with water, the rami bay, Tarvido de Dusha, the Toli La Be Kuchvi, and bring a Tarvido is a quantity, it's Malo Kaf, a spoonful of honey that sat out under the stars, that's a Toli Be Kuchvi, Ulamocha Ishti, and the next day drink it. So he would prepare this water in a new kuza, put in it some spoonful of honey and leave it outdoors under the stars, and the next day drink it. Avdi hachi, Rav Papa says, I did this v'itzoi, and I was healed. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. As you can see, it appears in a frame and it has a list of items in it. The first list of items represents things that are beneficial for a person who was ill, and the later in the source we'll see a list of items that for a person who was ill he should not consume them. Shisha dvarim merapin es hachoyle mecholyoi, six things heal a person from his ailment, urufu asun rufua, and their health, their healthfulness is truly helpful. The Elohein, these are the items. Kruv, Utradin, Umei Sisin Yavesha, Vekevas, Veheres, Vyoseres HaKoveit. Rashi says, concerning the Mei Sisin, he says he offers a French word, and concerning Heres, he says it's the uterus of a behema, of an animal. The Yoseres HaKoveit is a part of the internal organs that is located next to the or attached to the liver. The Yesh Omrim, the source goes on to say, Af Dogim Ktanim, another beneficial thing are small fish, eating small fish for a person who is ill. Velo Od, and furthermore, Elosha Dogim Ktanim Mafrin Umarbin Kol Gufoi Shel Odom, small fish in general, Mafrin Umarbin, with, without a literal translation, we'll say it increases and benefits the entire body. There are 10 items that if a person was just ill and is either at the last stages of his illness or just recovered, if he eats them, he will become sick and his ailment will be worse than before. Eluhein, ha'oichel, bosor shor, one who consumes ox meat, Shuman, fats, Bosor Tzli, roasted meat, Bosor Tziporim, meat of birds, Ubeitzot Tzluya, roasted egg, V'shachlayim, a type of vegetable, V'tiglachas, haircut, U'merchots, the bathhouse experience, U'gvino, cheese, V'koveid, and liver. V'yesh omrim af egozim, some include, in this list of negative things, nuts. V'yesh omrim af kishuin, another type of vegetable. Tona de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, Loma Nikra Shmon Kishuin, the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel teaches the following source in which the question is raised, why are these vegetables called Kishuin? Why is that the word that is, why do they receive that name, Kishuin? Answer, Mipnei Shehen Koshin L'chol Gufo Shel Odom Kecharavos, because they are, Kosheh is it means injurious, to the entire body like a sword. So it's kosher, hence it got the name kishuin. And how injurious is it? It's like being stabbed by a sword. V'ein mistaprin mehen b'chol mokom. The Mishnah mentioned that one is not allowed to receive a haircut from an idol worshiper. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. The Chachamim hold that in a public area it's mutter to have a haircut from an idol worshiper. However, in private, no. There's a Tosfos at the top of the second Tosfos on the from the top says Avolo beino leveino, that a haircut in a private situation is not allowed. Pirush b'mokim shein regilim b'nei odom kol kach, in a place that is not commonly traveled by people. Ki hahi d'Rav Chana b'shvili d'nahardo, like a story that will be reported in the Gemara involving Rav Chana that received a haircut from a Gentile from an idol worshipper in the paths of Nahardo. Avol b'yichud mamish, but to be literally alone, lo itzrich, that doesn't have to be taught over here. The tapuk lay, one could derive that af beloi mistaper osur isyachid imohem. Mishum shuchus vamim, even without the haircut consideration, if one is literally in private with an idol worshipper, that's forbidden because of their being suspect in committing murders. Turning back to the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we have a brisa. It has two parts to it. Aleph, Yisrael hamistaper mevi kichavim roya b'mara, a Jew that wants to receive a haircut from a from an idol worshipper, he should hold a mirror. He should have a mirror that he can look in. And the second point, the oved kichavim hamistaper miYisrael, a Gentile, an idol worshipper that's receiving a haircut from a Jew, the Jew has a legal restriction concerning how to conduct the haircut. Kevon shigia leblorisa shomet es yada, when he approaches his the idol worshipper's bloris. The bloris is a type of it's a crop of hair that the idol worshipper grows for the sake of his idol. He worships his deity by having this growth of hair on his head, and it's seems from the Gemara, it's a from the description in our Gemara, it seems it's a centrally located crop of hair. We've seen the mention of bloris in the first perek, where the a person would make a holiday when he is cutting his bloris, or taking a haircut and leaving the bloris there. We mentioned it was a crop of hair at the back of his head. But for our purposes, though, we are the Jew who's offering the haircut is warned not to trim all of the hair up till the bloris itself. And so that's what it means when he gets close to the bloris, shomet es yado. The Gemara will get into a more detailed description later. Omar Mar, this is a quote from what we just saw. Yisrael emistaper mevi kichavim roya b'mare, a Jew who is receiving a haircut from a from an idol worshipper, he should look in a mirror. Notice he should have a mirror with him. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances that the mirror is a factor? I berishus harabim, if it's a haircut that he's receiving in a public area, lomali mara, what does he need the mara for? What does he need to have the mirror for? The I berishus hayochid, and if he's in private, then ki roe mai havi, so that he's able to look in the mirror, of what benefit will that be? He's in private. The Olam Rishus HaYochid, the case that's featured in the source, he is in a private domain. The Kevon Deiko Mara, since he has a mirror with him, Mischazi Ke'odom Choshev, he gives the appearance of being an important individual. And that is that's his insurance policy against the suspicion of being murdered. Being that he appears as an Olam Choshev, so the idol worshipper wouldn't want to start up with him. Rav Chana bar Bizna, hafemistaper mevi kichavim b'shvili dinahar da'a. Rav Chana, we saw an allusion to this story in the Tosis we learned before. He was receiving a haircut from an idol worshipper in this location called Shvili. Shvili literally would mean the pathways of Nahar da'a. It's a place that there are people that are constantly passing by. Omale, so the idol worshipper said, "Oh, Chana, Chana, Yoi, Koyach, Lezuga, Chana was his name." He says, "Chana, your neck, Koyach is your neck. Yoi means it's nice, it's fitting. Lezuga for to be cut." And there's a barber probably is using scissors and razors and the like. So he's the idol worshipper is expressing his interest or desire to slit his slit Rav Chana's neck. Omar, Rav Chana heard this and said, Tesi li, I have it coming to me, the Avri ad Rabbi Meir, because I am in violation of Rabbi Meir's teaching. What did Rabbi Meir teach? He said that in an unqualified fashion, a Jew is not allowed to receive a haircut from a Gentile. And as a result of Rav Chana violating Rabbi Meir's teaching, he sees why he is in danger. Rav Chana, of course, was basing himself on the Rabbanan that Rav Chana felt would allow this. The Gemara asks, one second, Vada Rabbanan lo avar, and on the opinion of the Rabbanan, he was not in violation. Emur, the Omur Rabbanan Rushus Arabim. The Rabbanan gave allowance for haircuts from idol worshippers, provided you're in a public area. Rushus Hayochid mi Omur, but in a private area, did they allow? So it seems that Rav Chana is in violation not only of Rabbi Meir, but of the Rabbanan as well. The who savar, Rabbi Chana, who allowed himself to be receiving a haircut from the goy, he figured shvili dinahardo, the place that he received the haircut, came on the shchichi rabim, since it's a place that people travel through, kirushus harabim domu, it had a status of rishus harabim, and if that be the case, if it had a status of rishus harabim, then he was okay as far as the rabbanan were concerned. Only Rabbi Meir would have objected. The Oyved Kichovim Hamistapir Yisrael, the Brisa taught that if a Jew is giving an idol worshipper a haircut, Kevon Shigil the Brorisa Shamiras Yado, when the Jewish barber approaches his bloris, so he has to cease, he has to stop. That's Shomet Es Yodoi. Vikamo, the Morris question is, how close to the bloris must one stop? Omar of Malchia, Omar of Adobar Avo, Shloisha Etzbois, L'chol Ruach Ruach, a distance of 3 finger widths in all directions. From this description of the Gemara, one gets the impression that the bloris was a crop of hair that grew out of the middle of his head, so that when you're shaving his head and you approach the bloris, so 3 fingers width of hair must be left before you would have reached the bloris itself. So there's so that the Jew is not in effect cutting his hair, leaving the bloris by itself, which is really what the idol worshipper would prefer. We have markings in the Gemara. A diamond, you'll find diamonds around Rabbi Chanina and Rav Papa, and a double underline featuring the names Rav Malchiyo and Rav Malchiyah. The Gemara will present a series of 6 halachas. We won't engage in the explanation of the halachas. It's enough for us just to refer to them by their name, as is presented in the Gemara. And there's a machlokas we featured in our structural note in the outside margin, the Mivneh. We see there a diamond and a double underline featured. Machlokas Amoroyim Birishima Shel Shesh Halachos Mi Omram will be a machlokas Amoroyim between Rav Chanina and Rav Papa regarding these 6 halachas. Who is responsible? Who said them? Omar Rav Chanina Rei Rav Ika Shpud Shvachos Vigumos. These are names of 3 halachas. They are authored by Rav Malchiyo. We're going to note that the halacha concerning Shvachos is a halacha that's based on a Mishnah, as opposed to an isolated Amoraic legal ruling. Shvachos is an example of something that's based on a Mishnah in Ksubas. So we have 3 halachas, Shpud, Shvachos, and Gumos, which are authored by Rav Malchiyo. Another 3 halachas, Bloiris, Efer Makle, Ugvina. Bloiris is germane to our discussion. So Rav Chanina says that the Bloiris halacha was said over by Rav Malchiyah, and in fact, if you look up a few lines in the Gemara, you can see we've underlined Rav Malchiyah. He was the one that made mention of the 3 etzbos regarding the bloris. Omar Rav Papa says the following: Masnisin u'masnisa. Those halachas that are Mishnah oriented, namely they're halachas
that are that the Rabbanan discussed halachas that are rooted in a Mishnah or a Brisa. So the one that discussed those halachas, that's Rav Malchiyah. Shmaitza, those halachas in this list that are of a purely Amoraic origin, equals Rav Malchiyah. V'simona, and in order to remember, according to Rav Papa, how the breakdown takes place, remember the following. Masnisa Malkisa. Masnisa is a reference to Tanaic sources. Malkisa means they have a primary importance, but for our purposes, Malkisa reminds you of the name Rav Malchiyah. So according to Rav Papa, those of the six halachas that are purely Amoraic in nature are authored by Rav Malchiyah. Those that are based on information in a Mishnah, those are authored by Rav Malchiyah. My Binayu, what will be the point of difference between Rav Papa or Rav Papa's list and Rav Hanina's list in terms of authorship? Iko Binayu Shvachos. According to Rav Hanina, Shvachos was handled by or authored by Rav Malchiyah. According to Rav Papa, the issue of Shvachos, being that it's a Mishnah-based halacha, it will be authored by Rav Malchiyah. We have a chart on the inside margin illustrating the points of difference between Rav Hanina and Rav Papa. On the bottom part of the chart, those halachas that are numbered 2 and 5, namely Shvachos, that we already discussed, that will be a point of difference between Rav Hanina and Rav Papa. As according to Rav Hanina, Shvachos will have been authored by Rav Malchiyah, and according to Rav Papa, the issue of Shvachos would have been covered by Rav Malchiyah. There's another point of difference between them that the Gemara did not spell out, but it's the issue of Efer Makle. How do we categorize, or under whose name is that halacha categorized? According to Rav Hanina, Efer Makle is under Rav Malchiyah's name, and according to Rav Papa, the issue of Efer Makle is handled by Rav Malchiyah. We turn to Amud Beis, and at the top we see a Mishnah. The topic heading that we have on the outside margin, Dvorim shel goyim hu asurim b'hanah, items of the idol worshippers that are not only forbidden to eat or consume, but they're also forbidden to derive any benefit from them. We have a little note on the inside margin, He'oro Klolis, a general note. Nosei ha-mishnayas ha-boyz kidal halon, the topics of the mishnayas that we will see, the upcoming mishnayas. We have a list here of 1, 2, and 3, a mishnah on Chof Tes Omid Beis, that's our mishnah, and on Lamed He Omid Beis, and on Lamed Tes Omid Beis. Chof Tes Omid Beis, in our note we've written, Osur Bahanoah. And Lamed He Omid Beis will have Mutar Bahanoah and Osur Bahchila. Whereas one can benefit from it but cannot eat those items. And Lamed Tes Omid Beis has Mutar Bahchila, things that are one can consume. So the Mishnah says, Eilu Dvorim Shel Ovdei Kochavim Asurin, the Isurin Isur Hanoah. They are forbidden. These are items of idol worship that are forbidden. And the level of prohibition is one whereby one cannot derive any benefit from it. That would mean that one could not, if he had gained possession of these things, he would not be allowed to sell it. Likewise, he wouldn't be allowed to give it away, because by giving a gift to someone, you're also receiving benefit in the feeling of obligation that the receiver now has toward you, the giver. So what are these things? Hayayin, wine, hachoymetz shel ovdei kochavim shohim mitchiloso yayin, and vinegar of an idol worshipper whose origin was wine. In other words, wine that is left to sour eventually turns into vinegar. So we call it wine vinegar of an idol worshipper is also asur b'hano. Other things, v'cheres hedriani. This is a piece of earthenware that was used to absorb, soak up wine, and eventually it would be re-immersed. It would be immersed in water at a later point, and the wine would exude from it, a type of wine tea bag. But since it's absorbed with idol worshippers' wine, so the Cheres Hadriani is forbidden by Hano. The Oros Levuvin. Oros is skin or leather, skin. Levuvin comes from the word heart. The idol worshippers had a practice, it might sound barbaric, but they would approach a living animal and cut a circular flap of skin opposite the area that the heart of the animal is positioned, and they would extract the heart of the animal, and all of this was part of an idolatrous service. So these skins that were over the heart are also forbidden. Rav Shmuel Gamliel Omer, Bizman Shakera Shalo. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that it depends on the issue of the skin over the heart depends on the nature or the shape of the rip. So he says, Bizman Shakera Shalo Agol. Also, if it's a circular flap of skin, that's forbidden. However, Moshuch, if it's an elongated flap, then mutter, because that's not the way they practice their idolatrous ritual. Basar, now meat of idol worshippers, hanichnas levedis chavim, mutter. The meat that's on its way in, if the goy is walking with meat to an idol, so the meat is okay. However, hayotze, meat that he has, that you see him carrying upon his departure from the idol, aser. Because that meat, we assume, was part of a sacrifice offered to the idol. And as a result of it being offered to an idol, it becomes aser b'hanah. Hahochin l'tirpus. People that are on their way to a idol-worshipping ceremony. Tirpus, Rashi uses the word, explains it, it's to'us, one who's going to the big mistake, so to speak, going on his way to idolatrous ceremony. Osir loseis veloseis imohem. If you meet up with someone on his way to the tirpus, you cannot conduct business with him. Vaboin, someone who's on his way back from there, mutorin. It's okay. Noidois ho'evdei kechavim v'kan kenehem. Nodos are skin bottles. They're flasks made of leather that are owned by goyim, the kankaneim, and their earthenware flasks. The yayin sheyisro konus bohen, and there's a kosher wine stored in them. So you have these receptacles owned by the Gentiles, and the kosher wine is stored in them. So asurin. The Asuran Isur Hanol, Divrei Meir. They are forbidden completely, even to benefit from them. The Chachamim Omrim, Ein Isuran Isur Hanol. The Chachamim disagree and say that they are not forbidden. Hachartzonim Vazogim Shel Ovdei Kechavim. The grape seeds and grape skins of idol worshippers. Asurin, visurin, isur hanod. The Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim Omrim, lachin asurim. If they're lach means they're damp. Rashi explains that lachim is something that is true for a 12-month period. So, if these are within 12 months since they've been extracted from the grapes, we're talking here about the chartzan min zagin, they are asurin. Yevashin, however, if they've been lying around more than 12 months, mutarin, they're allowed. Hamurius, this is fish fat, uvinas beis unyaki, and the cheese from that community of unyaki, shel ovdei kechavim asurin, v'isuran isur hano, the Rabbi Meir. Rav Chomim Omrim, ein isuran isur hano. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. We have a marking that accompanies this Gemara. We have a long point marking. You see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. This is to develop a singular point, which takes us to the end of the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda tells us a story. Shoal Rabbi Shmuel is Rabbi Yeshua kishuli mahalchim baderech. Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Yeshua while on their way on a road. Amar lo. So Rabbi Shmuel asks, Mitnei ma osru gavinos of the kochavim. According to the Rabbonan that said that there's an Isur Achila and not an Isur Hano, why is there an Isur Achila? Why is there a prohibition of eating the cheese produced by idol worshippers? Omar lo. So he answers, and you'll notice we have another marking here, the diamond. This is to present different stages of of his of Rabbi Yeshua's answering the question. So the first stage has him saying, "Omar lo." Rabbi Yeshua answers, "Mipnei she ma'amidim oisa bekeva shel nevela." Ma'amidim is a process that whose goal is to harden the cheese or cause the cheese to curdle or harden. So how is that accomplished? So he says because the reason that it's usher to eat their cheese, even though it's mutter bahano, it's mutter to derive benefit from it, but not to eat it, that's because they are ma'amid, they harden the cheese, but keva shel nevela. Keva is the we'll call it sour milk. It's the residual milk found inside the stomach of a nursing calf. That milk has in it enzymes that, when you add more milk to it, the cheese it will cause this sour milk that's found in the unslaughtered calves causes other milk to form into cheese. That's keva shel nevela. Omar lo, so Rabbi Shmuel asks back, and this question lasts a few lines. You can see on the left-hand side we've assigned a long question marking this. So Rabbi Shmuel says back, "Valo kevas oila chamura mi kevas nevela." An ola is a sacrifice, a korban ola. Korban ola, let's say someone offered a nursing calf as a korban ola. Upon opening up the animal, they take out the innards, so you are going to be holding, amongst other things, the stomach. Inside the stomach of a nursing calf, you'll find the sour milk. So, is it not so that the kevas oilo chamura mikevas nevela, that an ola is a more strict area of law than an unslaughtered animal? In other words, we know that korbanos are forbidden. Behano, they're also behano. One cannot derive benefit from korbanos. From nevelas, though, one, even though he can't eat them, he is allowed to derive benefit. And yet we know concerning this restrictive area called oila, the amru, it has been said, koyein shadaito yofe, sorfo chaya. A koyein who is not fastidious, who's a type of person that is carefree, and isn't so fastidious about what he consumes. So if that's called daito yafe, he can drink that kevas nevela, sour milk, found inside the keva of a korban oila, and velo hodulo, other opinions don't agree with that it's that you can go ahead and drink it. Avol omru, that really you shouldn't do it. However, if one does drink the kevas nevela, kevas ola, if one drinks the kevas ola, he's not said to be in violation of mi'ila. What one sees from this is that it's not osir min hadin. It's not osir from a purely legal standpoint. Because if it were truly forbidden, then there would be an Isur Mi'ilah, there would be a violation of Mi'ilah, because that's the way we treat anyone who benefits from sacrifices. So from the fact that it's not Usur B'Mi'ilah, we see that it's technically speaking, one is able to consume it. And the Rashi points out that he says that we conclude from the fact there's no Mi'ilah, that it's viewed as pirsha bi'alma. Pirsha would mean waste material, not part of the animal itself, but rather waste coming from the animal or leftover. And as pirsha bi'alma, it's not really considered a food item at all. And if it's pirsha bi'alma, there really is no isur, no real isur to eat it, to consume it. So, being that there's no real prohibition in consuming it, the question comes back: why is the gvina, the cheese produced by the idol worshippers? Why did the Rabbanan say that it's usher to eat it? The Gemara continues: Omar loy. Rabbi Yeshua says, "I'll tell you why." Because the cheese of the Gvinas base unyaki that we saw above, that the Chomim said that it's osur only to eat, it's because it's formed through with the use of the keva of calves that were offered to idols. Omar Los, Rabbi Shmuel says, Im Kain, if you're dealing with something that was offered to an idol, Lama lo asru abano, why don't the Rabbonin forbid it even from any form of benefit? Hesil ledover acher. At this point, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't answer. He doesn't provide the real answer. He causes him to, Rabbi Yeshua like changes, diverts the discussion. Omar lo, Rabbi Yeshua says, Yishmuel achi, Heich ato kore. How do you read the following pasuk from Shir Hashirim, bearing in mind that the holy scriptures don't have vowels in them? So the question is, what about the following pasuk? Ki tovim dodecha miyayin. Dodecha is a masculine form. Oi ki tovim dodayach. Dodayach is a feminine form. Omar lo. So Rabbi Shmuel answers, ki tovim dodayach. I read that in the feminine form. Omar lo, Rabbi Yeshua says back, Ein adover kein. It's not to be read in the feminine form. Sharei chaveru melamed olav. The continuation of the pasuk teaches to the other contrary. L'reach shmonecha tovim. The pasuk uses the masculine in the continuation. So I know that the pasuk is to be read as kitovim dodecha, not dodayach. The Gemara topic heading we have on the outside margin, the nosei, Hamokor Sheyayin Shel Goyim Osir Bano, the source that the wine of Gentiles, of idol worshippers, is forbidden to even benefit from. The Gemara asks, Yayin Minolan, from where do we know that it's Osir Bano? You'll notice we have a long answer marking, and we also have, in the course of this long answer, triangles with colored in tips. These are described by our structural note on the outside margin of the Mivneh, Shlovim Shel Birur HaInyan, stages in clarifying this topic. In other words, there will be a buildup of ideas till we get to the final point. So, Omar Rabo Baravua, Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Asher Chelev Zivochemo Yochelo, Yishtu Yein Nisichom. We see in this pasuk a reference to wine, and also a zevach is mentioned. A zevach is a korban. Ma zevach osir b'hanoah, just like a zevach, a sacrifice, is forbidden to benefit from, so too af yayin nami osir b'hanoah, so too the wine of the ovdei kochavim is forbidden. Zevach gufei minolan. How do I know that the sacrifices offered by the idol worshippers to their idols is osir? The pasuk describes the worship of the idol Peor, Baal Peor, and Zivchei Mesim. Ma Meis Osir Bahano, just like a corpse is forbidden to benefit from, Af Zevach Nami Osir Bahano. So too, the sacrifices that are mentioned here, and we're talking about sacrifices to idols, they're also Osir Bahano. How do we know that a corpse is usher from to benefit from? The answer to that is Asya Shom Shom Me Egla Rufa. Through a word comparison, we come to that conclusion. The word comparison involving the issue of a mace and the issue of Egla Rufa. Ksiv Hocha But Thomas Shom Miriam, in the case of a death, you have the word Shom, where it says that Miriam died. Uksiv Hasam, the Orfu Shom Es Ha'Egla Benachal. Concerning the ritual of the Egla Rufa, that's the ceremony done when a murdered victim is found between two cities. So the closer cities brings a calf and they break its neck. That affords atonement for the murder until the actual murderer is found. Ma lahalon osir banal, just like in the case of the egla rufa, it is forbidden to benefit from. Afkan, so to the body that is osir nami osir banal, the corpse is also forbidden. The corpse meaning a standard dead individual, one cannot benefit from their body. The Hossam and all, how do you know by Egla Rufa that it is forbidden to benefit from? Because we used Egla Rufa to prove the case of a corpse. Answer, Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai, Kapora Ksiv Bo Kikochim. The word Kapora, the Pasuk says, and Rashi brings this in, Kaper L'Amcho Yisrael, referring to atonement. So Egla Rufa has an element of of sacrifices, the Beis HaMikdash sacrifices. Now, Beis HaMikdash sacrifices are known to be forbidden Osir B'Hanah. There's an Isser Mi'ilah, there's a prohibition of Mi'ilah if one does benefit from them. So, Egla Arufa, being that it has an atomic capacity like sacrifices of the Beis HaMikdash, so we know that it too is Osir B'Hanah. We have a topic heading and a structural on the outside margin. No same with Nasir, double underline and a bow tie featured. Shnei dugmois shodvorim shesagi lohem choisem echad. Two examples of things that we will find it is sufficient to have a singular seal as opposed to a double seal on the item to ensure its acceptability. V'hachoymes shel oyde kochavim shoyim etchiloso yayin. The Mishnah says that wine vinegar that you get from idol worshippers is Osir B'Hanah. Pshita. The Mishnah seems to be obvious. Mishum da achmitz, because it became vinegary, because it soured, poka le isurei, the original prohibition that it had upon it being in its wine state would have left? No, it wouldn't have left. In other words, the original wine identity stays, even though it's now vinegary. So why does the Mishnah have to teach this? Omar Avashi, ho osol ashminan. The following is what the Mishnah teaches me. Chometz shelonu, our, who means kosher vinegar, biyad oved kuchavim, in the hands of a Gentile. In other words, if I gave him my vinegar to watch, ein tzora choisem b'sei choisem, I would not need a double seal on it. In other words, only the Gentile-originated vinegar is a problem, but Jewish-originated vinegar that's then given to the Gentile to watch is not a problem. And what do we mean it's not a problem? We're saying you don't need to have a double seal to ensure its authenticity, being of Jewish vinegar. Why don't I need a double seal? If there's suspicion that he'll take my kosher wine vinegar and use it in service of his idol, lo minsichi. They don't pour vinegar to idols. The e mishum ichlufi, and if there's a suspicion that maybe the Gentile would have switched my kosher wine vinegar for his vinegar, well, kevan diko choisem, since there is a seal on it, a singular seal, it's not worth it to him to try to break the seal and then forge my seal on his replacement vinegar. Lo torach umezayif. He won't trouble himself to forge it. Omar Rabbi Ilah Shoninu. We have the following teaching. Yayin mevushal shel oivde kechavim shoyim etchiloso yayin osir. Wine, cooked wine of the idol worshippers. In other words, right now it's been cooked up, but originally it was regular pure wine. This is forbidden. It's osir. So Mora says to this pshita, that seems to be an obvious teaching, mishum de ivshil, just because it was cooked up, pokale isure, the original prohibition would have gone away. No, the original, just because it was cooked up, that remains osir b'hanah, as original idolatrous wine. Omar Ravashi, ho aslash minan. It is the following that's being revealed. It's really an inference. Yayin mevushal shelonu biyad of the kechavim, kosher wine that happened to be cooked up, that I entrusted to a goy, ain't sor choisim b'sor choisim, it does not need the double seal. Imishum insuchi, lo menasi. If one would think that he might have offered it to his idol while it was entrusted by him, he wouldn't do that because they don't offer cooked wine. The imishum ichlufi, if there would be a fear that he switched his idolatrous wine for my cooked wine, since there's a singular seal on it, on the kosher wine that I entrusted to him, lo torach umezayif, he won't trouble himself to forge that. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.